my sweetest friend. Can we start again? Throw open the door.
Stretch out our dusty wings. Ooh. and face and throwing stones. So take your mistakes, just let them go, 'cause don't we all wear those? Oh, for heaven's sake, we're missing hope and saving face and throwing stones. So take your mistakes, just let them go, 'cause don't we all wear those broken halos?
Thought I knew how love was supposed to feel, but then you changed my mind and made it real. Looking back on all that we've been through, I wouldn't change a single day with you. It's not always easy, but look how far we've come. I'm never leaving, 'cause on the day that I met you, you knew that I knew. When I said that I choose you, you know I still do. I love it how we dance through the fire, I love it how we sing in the rain. As long as I'm breathing, I'll be yours through the seasons. Your love is like the spring, it brings me life. Your heart is like the warmth of a summer night. Oh, I know it's not always easy, but when the winter comes, I will always believe in us. On the day that I met you, you knew that I knew. When I said that I choose you, be yours through the seasons.
Day after day, night after night, I will be yours, you will be mine. Bring on the lows, bring on the highs. Day after day, night after night, I will be yours, you will be mine. Bring on the lows, bring on the highs.
Oh, I know it won't always be easy, but look how far we've come. And I'm never leaving, 'cause
on the day that I met you,
I met you,
you knew that I knew,
that I knew.
When I said that I choose you, you know I still do. Love it how we dance through the fire, love it how we sing in the rain. As long as I'm breathing, I'll be yours through the seasons.
Day into the day, night after night, be mine. Bring on the lows, bring on the highs.
I'll be yours for the season.
Day after day, night after night, I will be yours, you will be mine. Bring on the lows, bring on the highs.
I'll be yours for the seasons.
Always getting tangled now. I am a little bit difficult. I can be a little self-critical now. I am a little unable to put all my cards on the table now. But somehow you're still with me.
It's amazing that you care. Love me like I am. And even when I can't, you still love me.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see you. Thank you for being here at Trinity this morning. We have gathered, as we always do, to worship. And I trust that this is the beginning of a worshipful week for you. For as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we do. We worship God. And we worship the Lord in many different ways. This morning we're going to do that. We're going to bring praises to God through song. We're going to worship the Lord through hearing His Word, reading it. We're going to worship our God through prayer. We're going to worship God through giving of ourselves in fellowship with one another, as we were just doing. Remember that we always offer an extended time of fellowship before service. We have what we call our coffee fellowship. Somehow we just believe that coffee enhances that fellowship, right? It's always good. And so at 9:45 every Sunday, we offer that. You can come and get an extra cup of coffee and enjoy just catching up with people before our worship gathering. And so, you know, as a Trinity, we learn, grow, and serve together, and we're going to do all three of those things this morning. And so, as I like to, I'd like to open our time of worship together by reading from the Word of the Lord. And this morning's reading is taken from Psalm 103. So as I read it, just be reminded that, you know, we gather here on Sundays not just to sing songs and to say hello to each other, but we do so, as I mentioned, to worship, to lift up the name of Jesus, because His name is the name that is above every name. We say amen to that. And so if you've joined us this morning and you're still seeking, know and be confident that you will hear the name of Jesus throughout our gathering today. And as believers in Him and as a church, we make it a priority to recognize Him, His glory, and to give Him all the worth that is due His name. So let me read to you from Psalm 103, just the first 12 verses, and allow this to be our call into worship. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." And that we can praise Him for. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Father God, we have come here to bless You, not just because of all of these wonderful things that You have done for us, but simply because of who You are. Faithful, holy, worthy, and good. We begin our time of worship, Father, by desiring to set our hearts and our voices on You, lifting up the name of Jesus, through whom You have done all these things for us. So we join together now in singing, "Bless You," a song of devotion, a song of surrender, a song of awe that reminds us of Psalm 103. that we can bless you, God, and bless your holy name. May every note and every word be an offering to you, the one who is worthy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Let's remain standing and do that together, church. Let's bless his holy name by singing.
Blessed are those who run to him, who place their hope and confidence in Jesus. He won't forsake them. Blessed are those who seek his face, who bend their knee and fix their gaze on Jesus. They won't be shaken. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Blessed are those who walk with him, whose hearts are set.
I get.
He's worthy of all our praise. Come.
shackles, break you free. Hear the song of the redeemed. He is moving, he is moving, he's alive. Oh, so take this freedom, take this love. Can you feel it rising up? He is here, he is here, he's alive. Oh, he lives. All honor and power are his. All glory forever, amen. Jesus.
Thank you. Yes, we praise you and shout out hallelujah, for you are risen. Thank you, God, that we can proclaim that truth here this morning, that we serve and believe in a risen Savior who is in us as believers today. God, you deserve all the praise and glory. As we began just by blessing you in your holy name, we say thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, that you saw fit out of your heart and your graciousness and mercy to send us your Son, that in him that offer of eternal life has been given to all of us, to the whole world. Thank you, Father God, that we simply believe in him for it, God. And that's why we can proclaim with great enthusiasm and with great joy this morning that wonderful truth, that he is alive. We thank you that you took all of our shame. You took all of our guilt, Father God. We are grateful. So we praise you, Lord, for all those things, and we praise you for who you are. And we do so in the matchless name of Jesus, through the leading of the Spirit, all for your glory, Father. Amen and amen. Would you say good morning to somebody next to you, church? All right, if we can make our way back to our seats, we praise God for that.
Claudia, can you bring your mic?
We can make our way back to our seats. We praise God for some good fellowship and, of course, worship. And that's why we have gathered, yeah, to worship the Lord. And as I mentioned, we worship God in many different ways, and it's so good to be in this place together to worship and to encourage each other, especially after a time of powerful worship, right? Worship through song. And that's why music is so interesting, right? And most of us have a great affinity for music, different styles of music, but when we sing songs of worship here at Trinity, it really focuses on the lyrics, right? That we can sing songs that have words and lyrics that bring us back to the truth of who God is and who we are and why it is that He is so good that we worship Him, right? And so that's that beautiful part of singing songs, that the words can kind of stay stuck in our head. Did you ever notice how it might be hard to memorize scripture, but you hear a song, and then you know all the lyrics to all the songs, right? And so we praise God for that. And every once in a while, does it happen in your home where somebody starts humming a tune, all of a sudden it's stuck in your head all day, and you're like, thank you for singing that, because now it's stuck in my head. But we praise God, and so we thank Him for all those wonderful truths that we got to proclaim, and remember that these are promises, too, that we can stand on, because God is a God who is trustworthy, and He's a promise keeper. And so, therefore, we can stand on all of His promises. He promised He would send a Savior, and He did. And He promised eternal life. It is offered to us. We receive by simply believing in Jesus. And Jesus promised that He would return and come back for us. And so now, in this beautiful age of grace, the church age, we call it, we are praising and worshiping Him and serving Him, learning, growing, and serving while we wait for Him to come back for us. And as the whole Bible ends, we say, come quickly, right? Come, Lord Jesus, come back. Perhaps even today, perhaps even during our time together, many of you say, yes, Lord, before the sermon would even be great. Yeah, we said it. Okay. Got to get the silly pastor joke in there. So just a few things, what we call church life and announcements to get caught up on. There's always so much more that we can talk about ways to get involved and things that are happening, more than I can mention on a Sunday. So please always check out our website, trinityallenwood.com. It's got all the information about what we believe and why and how we gather, why we gather, and the things that are important to us, and these three words are important as our core values: learn and grow and serve. It's how we pursue being disciples of Jesus, which means a learner or a follower. We learn the truth. We get that from His word. We grow in that truth and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and then we serve. And that service is an outpouring, right, an outflowing of the learning and the growing. We have many ways to serve together. We serve one another. We serve the community and the world around us. And we do so to take the gospel of grace to people that we come in contact with, people that are in need, and as the Spirit guides us. And so we learn, we grow, we serve together. Please remember that there are connection cards all around the church. If you're new or if you've just been with us for a little bit, you'd like to learn more, we'd love to have some of your information, at least your name, a phone number, and email, so we can stay in contact and encourage you. And so make use of those connection cards. Or if maybe you have a question or something that you'd like follow up on, and you find that the easiest way, you can fill one of those out and leave it at our connection center. But make use of those connection cards. Remember that we've been announcing that we could use some help in our nursery. Our Trinity Kids ministry is so important to us, and they do a lot. But it also means that as we grow and we keep seeing more and more children, our next generation, right, that we could use some more help. So specifically, we're letting you know that there is a need for two helpers in our nursery. That's for our youngest ones. And so If you're looking for a way to serve, that would be a great way to get started. Some people ask, Pastor, like, as I'm searching, trying to find out my spiritual gifts, I don't know where to serve and plug in. I often say, just get started in serving somewhere. Maybe you find out that it's not the place for you, and that's okay, but in the meantime, you've helped out and you serve, or maybe you find that that is what you love to do. So we have a need in Trinity Kids, especially with our nursery. So let us know if you have questions or are interested in that. Also remember that we have a very vibrant missions ministry. Our missions team is always hard at work planning ways for you to get outside of these four walls and to serve. So we have some dates coming up in June, and so just check our website for that. You'll be seeing some updates through text and email. Make sure you're on those lists as well. There are opportunities, at least two this month, to serve. So we'll be hearing more about that in just a moment. We have some church barbecues coming up. Now, we're moving from service to, learn, grow, and serve. Where does barbecue fit into that? It's fellowship. It's growing, right? It's all of that. And so we praise God. Learn, grow, serve, barbecue. That'll be our fourth core value here at Trinity. One of our longtime members has opened his home. He has a great backyard and a pool and loves to just open his home to host. And so we'll have one in June. This is coming up on the 28th, last Saturday this month, and one in July, one in August. You'll see those dates posted on our website. You'll get updates about those. But we'll have one each month where you can just come, invite friends and family. Everybody's invited to come and just have a great time of fellowship and food and swimming and all that. So we love to just stay together. You know, many ministries kind of take a break for the summer, but this is a good way to stay connected even outside of Sundays. So be looking for more information on our monthly church-wide barbecues for this summer. Remember, our Dig Deeper group meets every Sunday, 9:15 to 10:15 down in Classroom A. As they're studying the book of Hebrews, that is a big part of how we learn. So keep note of that. You can join that group anytime. A book will be provided for you. Next Sunday, I understand, is Father's Day. And a couple things about that. Men, hopefully you'll be here for that. We'll have a small gift, a token of our appreciation for you after our service. But next Sunday is Father's Day. But it also means that if you participated in the Open Door Pregnancy Center opportunity to help raise funds, we call it the baby bottle boomerang, is what they called it. If you took one of those bottles and you are filling it with money, then we ask that you bring them back next Sunday, because it was from Mother's Day to Father's Day. So please bring them back next Sunday. You'll see where to do that. And the other thing about that is, if you happen to have missed that, but you still want to help out with that important ministry, then there's still a couple of bottles left, I think two. You can see Angela, who oversees that. If you want to take one, you have another week to just jam it full of all kinds of big bills, all right? So that's what we'll do. So please make sure to bring those back if you have participated. Finally, before we get into God's Word, I wanted to invite somebody up. So you mentioned me, you've heard me mention her name. So Lori Singer is somebody you've heard me talk about the last couple of weeks. She is currently the outreach coordinator for the Toms River Housing and Homeless Coalition. And you've heard me mention her in light of our missions ministry. And the third Thursday of every month, we go down to Toms River with our volunteers, and we help in a sort of a larger ministry to people that are unhoused and struggling with poverty and homelessness in and around the Toms River area. And it's down right near Christ Episcopal Church in Toms River. You've probably heard about them in the news. She'll share a little bit more about that. But we partner with them, with other ministries that come, that shower ministry we've talked about, that gathers there, and others, and people that are struggling come on that day to find out more about resources that Toms River offers, resources that churches like that one in the community offer for people that are in need. And so from the Housing Coalition, they mentioned that they aim to empower individuals to not only meet their emergent housing needs, but also to help them long-term to provide stable housing and other supportive services. And I think we can all get behind that, right? They have a housing resource center, which goes even a little further, provides comprehensive daytime assistance for people that are unhoused, just providing a safe environment to maybe come and take a shower, do some laundry, receive mail, eat a healthy meal, things that people that don't have a house will need, things that we, of course, will often take for granted in our own lives. So she'll tell you much more about her ministry and the things that are going on there, and just glad that we can go and partner with them at least once a month. So, Lori, if you would come up and share a few words. Thank you. It's on. Yeah, it's on.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everybody. Hello. Yes. Thank you so much for having me here with your beautiful church. Y'all singing this morning making me cry. That was a little surprise. You know, that your hearts are felt in this room, and it's lovely. So I just wanted to share with you, yes, I've been working with the Toms River Housing and Homeless Coalition for almost 3 years. At the end of the summer, it'll be 3 years. And we've been in the space of the Parish House for about almost 2 years. And it's great because there's organizations like yours and other nonprofits that come into that space and provide services for folks. Because it's not just one thing that people need. Everyone's got different needs, and everyone becomes homeless or is facing homelessness based off of a lot of different reasons. So each organization tends to have an own little niche. You know, it could be domestic violence, or it could be a vet. How's the mic going in and out a little? I met Andrew, one of your parishioners here, and he came, and he was like, I love what you're doing here, and we want to be part of it, and I just say yes to people. I find a lot of success and great leadership skills and working in collaborative spaces. Just say yes. Just say yes to people and let them do what they want to do, and great things happen. So the folks that we serve there, a lot of them are unhoused. They're mostly all from Ocean County, and a good vast majority of them are from Toms River. And, you know, home is, it's a visceral feeling. It's a feeling of safety. Home smells a certain way. Home feels a certain way. The comfy couch. You know, a nice hot meal, somebody's cooking in the kitchen. A lot of these folks, they come from broken homes, or they never had a home that felt that way. So we try to create that environment on top of connecting people to services that they need. It's so much more than filling out paperwork. It's creating a safe environment where they can kind of take a breath and unload and feel like they're not going to be persecuted. Because a lot of these folks are also getting attacked, or you know, verbally, or you know, shunned away because they're homeless, or they're dressed a certain way, or they smell a certain way because they haven't had access to take a shower. That's why it's important to know that we're all human beings, and the difference between them and us is four walls. And you know, you can reach people and touch them and make them feel safe. You know, because every human deserves that. So I kind of, there's two things going on. So we're in the process of the outreach center that we create, and I was the outreach coordinator, but now I'm the director of services. And we have that Operation Day Center where we have events, and a bunch of your parishioners here, you guys come and you serve the Lord by providing meals and prayer and hope for these folks. That's so needed. We're in the process of trying to get approval to make it an overnight shelter. we would still operate as a day center during the day, a housing center, a resource center, but it would provide 17 individuals a space to sleep at night, a place to take a shower, and a place to do their laundry. There are homeless folks that are walking amongst us, but you don't know that they're homeless because they keep themselves well put together because they don't want to face that discrimination. Just because someone is a little unsheveled looking doesn't mean they're homeless. Just because someone puts themselves really together well doesn't mean they have a home. Keep that in mind. So in the midst of all of this, waiting for the zoning board approval, so the next zoning board meeting, and I believe Andrew and a bunch of you guys might be coming, that's this coming Thursday. So your presence is always welcome. These are township meetings that are public, and your prayers and presence is always welcome. Just want to point out, too, if you ever go to these types of meetings, I would encourage you to sit in a lot of different spaces. Don't all congregate in one area. Because with the zoning board meetings that we've been going to, the neighbors that are against the shelter sitting on one side of the room, and all the nonprofits and church folks sitting on the other side of the room. But it creates this like power dynamic where if you get enough people of prayer sitting all around, it kind of dissipates that energy, I think, a little bit. So it's just read a room. That's what I'm saying. The other thing I want to talk about, and this is important for every congregation, is that Tom Server Township, the mayor and the town council are going to be voting on to whether to take over the church property via eminent domain. Now, the property that we work on is owned by the Christ Episcopal Church. It's about 11 and a half acres. There's more than one different type of congregation on that space. So you have Christ Episcopal Church. There's a little church next to us. They rent the space from Christ Episcopal Church. That's Ocean Christian Community Church. And then we're in the parish house doing the housing center. So what eminent domain means is that the government can come in and just take over that property. And then you're uprooting an entire congregation, you know, of folks. So again, there's so much... there's a lot of discrimination against the folks that we serve, and this is kind of the government's way of doing it, at least the local government. They're getting a lot of pushback, though, thank goodness. That space is beautiful. It's been in the congregation, in the Episcopal congregation for 160 years. There's old growth trees there. There's people my age and older that used to go sledding down the hills in the back. I mean, it's a sacred spot. You don't have to subscribe to any one religion or not to realize that this is a sacred space and they're doing good work there. So that next meeting with that, and Andrew will keep you guys filled in, that's going to be, when they vote on it, is going to be the end of July. But, so, without further ado, I hope I'm not taking up too much time. I did put together a little video. It's just like pictures of all the folks that we work with. We partner with nonprofits and we partner with churches like yours to come do work and make people feel like people again, you know, because we are one community. What you do for yourself, what you do for the people in front of you creates a better community. So go ahead and put it up there. Thank you. I'm going to have a seat. Thank you. making me cry. So thank you all. Thank you so much. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us and doing the good work. If you have any questions, you can let me know. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you again. You know, like I said earlier, we like to, as best we can, provide many different ways to serve, to take the learning and the growing and to go out and serve. And of course, this is one important, powerful way. And so if you've been touched by anything that you saw, I've been hearing about this, we encourage you to get involved, whether it's those attending those town meetings, learning more about what's going on there. As a church, we're particularly interested, of course, in that whole side of it. But even more important, we want to just pray that the people that are in need continue to find opportunities to get the help and find the hope, ultimately, in Jesus Christ. And if we can be a small part of that, then we are grateful. And so take a moment, if you're able, after service to just meet and to greet Lori and to thank her and to encourage her, all right? And so we continue to pray for you and for that ministry. So thanks for the time this morning. In our remaining time, as we continue in our study and our journey through the Gospel of Matthew, we're just going to look at two verses today, but I think in a moment you'll see why. So if you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, the scripture will be up on the screen for you as usual, but if it's always better to turn in your own Bibles to it, maybe use the app on your phone if that's what you do, but we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Perhaps you've heard this term, the unpardonable sin. You might have come across that before. You've heard about it. Maybe you were taught about it in Sunday school, grew up believing certain things about it, or maybe not, just not even fully understanding or knowing what it is that it means. Well, this morning, I trust that when you leave here, you will have a clear understanding and picture of what Jesus is talking about and where we get this term, the unpardonable sin, in most importantly, in the context of the passage and what it meant for the people of Israel in that day that he was talking to and what the principle means for us as believers today, in our age, as we wait for Christ's return. And so here is the passage. It is Matthew 12, 31 to 32. Let me read these two verses for you. And then there's just three brief points I'd like to make, what we can glean from this. Because as always, even in just two verses, there's so much more that we can unpack than we have time for together on a Sunday morning. But there's a few things that I think would be really important that we take away from this passage. Again, always wanting to keep Scripture in context, but what is the application, right? As we know from Bible studies that there is one interpretation, one true interpretation, but many applications. So this morning we'll look at the interpretation in context, and what are the applications for us for today. So Matthew 12, 31 to 32. Therefore I say to you, this is Jesus who is speaking, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. That is our passage for this morning. Perhaps there was something in there that kind of struck you that doesn't sound like something Jesus would say if he were to tell us that he's not willing to forgive something. That doesn't sound like the Jesus that we like to talk about, right? The Jesus that we've heard and learned about already in the first 11 plus chapters of Matthew. So if you remember, again, to keep this all in context, Matthew is writing this account of the life and times and teachings of Jesus to a predominantly Jewish audience. They are believers in Messiah, but they are predominantly Jewish. And so they have believed in Jesus as the promised Messiah, but Matthew wanted to write this account of Jesus to confirm for them and to, yes, confirm that Jesus is the king, the long-awaited king, the king of Israel, and he has come to offer that kingdom that they had been waiting for. Because kingdom language and the idea of king is so important to the Hebrews, to the people of Israel, and it should be to us as well. But see, the people of Israel had long awaited for generations upon generations for God to send the promised Messiah. Remember, all the way back in Genesis 3, God promised there would be a Redeemer, one who would overcome the effects of sin from Satan. And so God, obviously, is going to make good on that promise. And so we see God choosing for himself a people, creating a brand new people, and he does so through Abram, who he then names Abraham, and his son Isaac, his son Jacob, and we, of course, know that they become the people of Israel, the Hebrews, and God's plan is to bring that promised Messiah into the world through this special people, his chosen group of people. And they had long awaited for this Messiah, and of course, we know from the Old Testament the turbulent relationship between the people of Israel and their God. Times and cycles of disobedience and then crying out and asking for forgiveness and God's grace and mercy flowing even after a time of judgment, but then the cycle returns over and over again until God finally sends the one true Messiah, the one Lamb that would take away the sins of the world, to then replace that whole sacrificial system that the Jews had in place, that God had given to them through Moses, his servant and prophet, the Ten Commandments and the like. And Jesus comes and says he has fulfilled that law. So Jesus is the long-awaited king who has come to bring that kingdom that the Jewish people had waited for so long. And so Matthew is writing this account to people who have now believed in him but needed that reassurance that he is king and he has brought the kingdom. And so in Matthew already, up through the first 11 chapters or so, we've seen Matthew give us the genealogy of Jesus and his call into ministry, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit as a dove comes down. And so Matthew is showing us how Jesus fulfills all of the qualifications of this king, of the Messiah. And through the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who we've talked about quite often, the religious leaders of the day, they have been leading the Jewish people astray by misinterpreting the law that God had given them and really leaving out the heart of God from the law. That's a theme that we have seen undergirding every chapter we've seen. And so we bring it. It brings us to this point today in Matthew 12, where there is this pivotal moment we saw last week, when the nation as a whole, through its leaders, have finally rejected their king and his offer to bring the kingdom. We saw in chapter 11 that we started seeing more and more of this rejection of the nation through their leaders. But finally, last week, we saw them attributing all of the miracles of Jesus to not the power of the Spirit of God, but to the spirit of Satan. And that was the turning point where it was like that nail in the coffin. Now, all they had to do was decide how they were going to kill Jesus and when. But the decision had been made. So from this point on, we're going to see the teachings of Jesus change in nature. When we get to chapter 13, we'll see he starts teaching in parables and talking to the disciples about what citizens of that coming kingdom should do while they wait for him to return, because it's clear they have rejected the king and the kingdom. So Matthew has to give an account for that as well. But where we find ourselves today is Jesus sort of unpacking and highlighting what had just happened, what we saw last week, that they said, no, this man, the leaders say, this man, Jesus, worked all these miracles, including casting out the demon from the blind and the mute man. He did it by the power of Satan and not by God. So Jesus goes on to tell them not only how wrong they are, but how illogical. He says, if a kingdom is against a kingdom, it cannot stand. A kingdom divided itself against itself cannot stand. And he says, if I did this, then anybody that casts out Satan is, casts out demons is doing it by the power of Satan. He said, how does that even make sense, right? So now here's what Jesus says. In light of that, bringing us up to that point, Jesus then says this. He says, therefore, there's always a reason when you see the word therefore, you want to know what it's there for, right? And so therefore, Jesus says, I say to you. So he's saying, like, in light of what you just did, and you said that I've come here by the authority of Satan and not of God, and you say all my miracles, Jesus says, are by his authority and not by God and his spirit, Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people. That sounds great. But, or except, blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Let's look at those two phrases. First, let's look at the good news. Let's look at the positive part of this. Jesus says, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people. I think when we read this passage, we go immediately to what cannot be forgiven. What does this mean, Jesus? Well, first, let's see what he says first. He says, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Can we just stop right there for a moment and just ponder that, think about that? We can just park there for a moment. Jesus affirms the breadth of God's mercy. Every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. God is willing to forgive us. No matter our past, Jesus offers forgiveness. There is always hope in Jesus. Even if you once denied him, you doubted him, Jesus' arms are open wide. There's a reason we quote John 3:16 so often. So God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever would believe would not die but have everlasting life. And so Jesus is saying he is willing to forgive any sin, any blasphemy. They had just blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They had slandered the name of God. That's what blasphemy is. It's extreme slander. We know that for believers, we take to heart 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A wonderful promise for Christians, for believers in the Lord Jesus, that when we as Christians sin, and we do because we're not yet perfect, only when the Lord comes back, that when we sin, we can ask God for forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us and help us not to do it again, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We claim that promise as Christians, but this is a wonderful promise, of course, for those who have yet to be believers, who have believed in the Lord Jesus, for those who are still seeking and searching. What a wonderful promise that Jesus is willing to forgive. His heart is one of forgiveness. We cannot be so far from God that we cannot be forgiven. We just take that in for a moment. We praise God for that. We sang about it earlier. But then he says, but. Boy, there's a big but right there, isn't there? Except for something. So he gives a caveat. Except blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Remember, he started this phrase by saying therefore. So what does he mean? What is this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Church, it simply means this. What we saw last week, that they attributed Jesus' miracles to the power and authority of Satan and not of God. So they were denouncing, they were slandering, they were blaspheming the person of the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity. And Jesus says that will not be forgiven. Well, let's continue on. we can see what it is he means by that. Verse 32, he goes on. He says, so whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, which is who? It's him. He's saying, if you slander me, he's saying, it shall be forgiven. You can slander my name. Take my name in vain. I will forgive you. But whoever speaks against or slanders or blasphemes the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Either, then he puts even parameters on it, either in this age or the age to come. So let's look at this real quick. What is this unpardonable sin? Well, there's two contexts. The context that is most important is the immediate context, but what does it mean for us today in our context? In the immediate context, church, it means simply this. We just take it for what it says, that the people of Israel, through the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they have denied Jesus Christ being the Messiah. They're denying that he's the Messiah, the King, with all the power and authority of God. They are denying that because they said, no. We see all the miracles. We can't deny the miracles, but you didn't do it from God's power. You did it from Satan's power. You must be from Satan and not of God. He already called them out against it. So he says, that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, denouncing the fact that I am doing this, Jesus is saying, by the power of the Spirit of God, that cannot be forgiven. Why? Because if they're attributing his power, just even logically, to Satan, then they are not accepting him as Messiah. If they are not accepting him as Messiah, they will not receive him as king or the kingdom. They will not enter into the kingdom, therefore eternal life. Again, in the context, it is about national Israel. See? So, can the unpardonable sin be committed today? In context, no. Because we are not here seeing Jesus walk among us, perform miracles. We are not the people of Israel in that day, 2,000 years ago, rejecting Jesus as the king. So that unpardonable sin that Jesus talks about is Israel rejecting their king. That's what happened. He said, that's the one thing that cannot be forgiven because you are rejecting me. So in context, that's what it means. So here's what it does not mean. And now we bring it for us for today, our application. It does not mean suicide. Sometimes people say, the unpardonable sin is suicide. It's not what this is talking about. Some people think the unpardonable sin is losing our salvation. You're a Christian, you've believed, but you walk away from God so far, you're going to lose your salvation. That is not what Jesus is talking about. That is not the unpardonable sin. It is not even as a Christian coming to the point where you renounce God and say, I'm no longer a Christian. That is not the unpardonable sin. Again, in context, we cannot do the unpardonable sin. But what is the one thing that cannot be forgiven? Jesus said he forgives everything. Well, here's the important context for us, church. What does Scripture teach us about every person ever born? That we, because of Adam and Eve, are born with a sinful nature. We call it original sin. So the best way to describe it is that we, every single person born, is a sinner by nature and by choice. See, we got no shot apart from Jesus. We're born in a sinful state, separated from God because of Adam and Eve, the human race. But we also then, by that nature, choose to sin. So by nature and by choice, we are sinners separated from a holy God. And only God can reconcile us to himself because only he is perfect. That's why Jesus is that perfect Lamb of God who lived a perfect sinless life, the only one who was qualified to go to the cross on our behalf. So therefore, for today, we talk about the unpardonable sin. No, we cannot commit that sin. But what is it? And this is just a perfect situation for this powerful reminder. What is it that keeps us out of heaven, that prevents us from receiving eternal life? What is it? It is rejecting Jesus Christ. So it's the same principle, you see. It's rejecting the Messiah. It's rejecting Jesus. They rejected him as their king, would not receive the kingdom. He said, you can even blaspheme me if you want. But if you're attributing me to Satan and not of God, you're rejecting me, then I am not your king, and you don't get the kingdom. Therefore, that offer is off the table. We are now in this age of grace. And God said through Jesus, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so God has made it clear there is one means of salvation, one condition to receive eternal life for all, Jew and Gentile alike, today until he returns. That is by believing that he is who he says he is, the Messiah, the King, the one they rejected, that he did what he said he was coming to do, die on the cross, come back to life. If we believe in him and that he did that for us, and no one else could, the Bible says you're saved. You're receiving eternal life. Then and there, you can't lose it. Why? Because you didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We don't have to do good works to keep it, because we can't lose it. We don't even have to do good things to prove it to anybody. Thank you for the amen, brother. We don't have to prove it to God. We just sang before, it is finished. Didn't Jesus say it is finished from the cross? What does it is finished mean? Does it mean there's still room left for us to do something? No. Jesus did it all. It is finished. How do we receive this gift, this offer of salvation? By believing. It says it over and over and over again. Believing. Remember the jailer we read about in Acts, who was just so amazed at God's miracle of setting the apostles free, and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I have eternal life like you do? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Belief. It's the same thing as trust of faith. That is how we receive that beautiful gift. It's like a Christmas gift, church. You've heard me say it before. It's offered to you. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it, maybe, but it's given to you as a gift, and all you have to do is reach out and receive it. That's the nature of a gift. A gift is free. Grace is free, or else it's not grace. There is no sin too great for God's grace. Now, there's a danger in repeatedly shutting the door on that grace. For the unbeliever, it's final rejection, rejecting Jesus. For the believer, we can never run far enough from God where he is not willing to forgive. The Holy Spirit draws each believer, convicts us, reveals Jesus. You know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the unbelieving world, to those who are not yet Christians, is one simple ministry, is to convict of sin. It's to convict the world of sin that they are in need of a Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit does for those who are not yet believers. We don't ever want to reject Jesus as believers, but we miss out on all that fellowship, rejecting the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. But we should never despair of God's forgiveness, no matter our past or current transgressions. The path to reconciliation with God is always open for the believer by asking for forgiveness, enjoying that restored fellowship, because our relationship can't change. For the seeker, for the unbeliever, the offer is always on the table for you to accept or reject. Believers, but we should be cautious not to dismiss or even distort the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How often do we just know the Holy Spirit is calling us to do something, getting out there to serve, just to get deeper into the Word, whatever it is, he's drawing you close to Holy Spirit. How often do we sort of quench the Spirit? You know that's possible as a Christian? Scripture says we can quench the Holy Spirit. Don't ever want to do that. We should seek to always be cultivating a heart of humility and openness to God's correction in our lives. Again, for believers, we want to remain receptive to the Holy Spirit and embracing God's continued forgiveness in our lives. We don't ever want to be, I close with this, like the self-righteous Pharisees, who with their great false piety wanted to be the Jewish leaders. They were threatened by Jesus, no doubt. They sought to gain their necessary righteousness by their own efforts. As long as they kept the law and did everything properly, they said and taught, they could gain that righteousness that's necessary to get into that kingdom. It was righteousness by their own efforts. They thought they could satisfy the righteous demands of a holy God. See, but what we know is true is that we need faith righteousness. We need the righteousness of God that is given to us freely by faith alone in Christ alone, simply trusting in Him. If you already know the Lord Jesus, then you can rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we can live like the free people we are, free children of God. Walk in that newness of life. Recognize who we are in Christ and then live like it. But if we don't yet know the Lord Jesus, if you are here and you are seeking, you need to stop trying to get to know Him and stop trying to make things right with God through your own efforts and simply and willingly recognize you are a sinner by birth and by choice in need of a Savior. You are in a desperate situation needing rescuing. And you cannot be saved in any way apart from the grace of God. Why? Because we have nothing to offer God. We simply come to God empty-handed, accept by faith that free gift of righteousness paid for by the blood of Christ that is required for eternal life. A righteous and holy God cannot have sin enter into His presence. So how do we then become sinless and holy? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the penalty of sin has then been paid. The power of sin has been taken away. We can then say no to sin and temptation. And eventually, when He calls us home, even the presence of sin will be removed. Therefore, we can then stand in His presence and say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and for your grace." Would you stand with me, please? Father God, thank you for our time together. God, I pray that as we leave this place, each one of us would take from this morning something, God, something that reminds us of who you are and what you have done for us, something about your goodness and your grace, something about how we are to be following the prompting of the Holy Spirit to learn, to grow, to serve, to give of ourselves as a way of saying thank you for what you have done. God, that we would take from this morning just more of an encouragement and a challenge to go share our faith with others, people that are in need, that are trying all different ways to find you, God, to reconcile their sinful actions, to find purpose and meaning in their life apart from you. God, use us to share the simple good news of the gospel of grace, that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, and that belief in Him, receiving that free gift, is all it takes. God, thank you that you sent Jesus, the one and only Savior. God, may we not be like the Pharisees, self-righteous, trying to earn our way to you, or as believers, trying to somehow prove to you that we are worthy. God, remind us, we have nothing to offer. You have given your life through Jesus Christ to us. That is what we receive. Thank you, God, that we have been made right with you and can enjoy beautiful fellowship all the days of our life. We say finally, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come for us, Father, but until then, may we be found learning more about you, growing in that faith and trust in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and giving and serving and offering ourselves up to you and to others as an act of worship. And through it all, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's go in peace and serving the Lord. Thank you for joining us at church this morning.